Of all Hamlet's companions, only Horatio sought him out when he returned. This was hardly surprising. While Hamlet was in Heidelberg, Guildenstern had inherited his father's estates, and Rosencrantz had gone to live with him and help spend his money while waiting for his own father to die. Laertes was in France. He had been sent for, but not with the same urgency as Hamlet, since the dead king had not been his father. The others were sons of lesser barons, whose fathers could not afford to keep them at court once the king stopped paying for their upkeep as companions. But if Horatio was his only friend left in Elsinore, he was enough, at least for now. In some ways Horatio was still a boy, for to Hamlet all the practicing for war and death was a child's game, now that he had become a man of thoughts and words. In other ways, though, Hamlet was in awe of him, for Horatio had grown to be a strong man, looking older than his 19 years, with an easy manner and a confidence born of strength. Horatio had nothing to fear. It was Horatio who told him that the kingdom was secretly arming for war. In Norway, Fortinbras had recently succeeded to his father's throne, and anyone who was not a fool knew that he would, at the first opportunity, attempt to avenge his father's defeat at Denmark's hands 15 years ago. There were lost lands that Fortinbras would want to reclaim, and the death of his old enemy, Hamlet's father, would be taken as an opportunity. "So that's why the barons gave the throne to my uncle so quickly," said Hamlet. "We're bound to have war this summer," said Horatio, "though no one speaks of it openly. In case Fortinbras wavers, there's no reason to provoke him by making known our own preparations for war. Better to keep the peace for another season."
"But we do prepare." "Well, we do now."